Our scripture this morning comes from Acts, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 26. It is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and David Hughes, before he left, observed how that is a little ironic for Mother's Day. But hopefully you'll see how it ties in a few minutes. So here's the story. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, one of the apostles, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So Philip got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah. He said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to the man the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized the man. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he was passing through that region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So on this Mother's Day, I'm feeling very blessed. Our daughter, Chaney, is doing well. Some of you know, if you're Facebook friends with me, that there was a lot of drama this last week in her life. She had an internship lined up at the Denver Post for this summer. And last week, and if you haven't read in the news, it's been in the New York Times, the Denver Post is in a mess. It's in total chaos and disarray. And it looked like last weekend her internship was canceled. And so she was scrambling all week trying to find a new internship, only for them on Friday to say, "Oh, never mind. It's all good." And so she is, after all, going to be at the Post this summer. She's also going to be able to join my husband and myself in Washington, D.C. when we're there starting a week from tomorrow for a conference. So not only is she doing well, she is still willing to hang out with her parents, at least when we go someplace cool and are paying. So that's right. My oldest stepson, John, and his family are thriving in Erie, Pennsylvania, where he's a tenure track professor in psychology. And Tim, while he still hasn't found the perfect job for him, has found the perfect, at least for him, woman to share his life with. And so we are looking forward to his and Maggie's marriage celebration in Barcelona, Spain, in September. Of course, none of the kids are around here, but the Mother's Day bonus that I have received this year is that my parents' return to their home in Saratoga, Wyoming, had to be delayed long story and not very interesting, but the bonus is that after church, Steve and I will get to go out to Palm Desert, where I will celebrate the first Mother's Day in how many years I can remember with my mother. So for me, this Mother's Day is a good one. I'm grateful for my children and the time with my mom, but I am very mindful as well that not everyone is in my place on this day. I remember what Mother's Days were like for me before I adopted Chaney. For those of you who don't know, I adopted Chaney from China when I was 40 years old, and then I got married for the first time at 43. Mother's Days back then served as a reminder of what I didn't have and might never have. I remember feeling the same way at weddings, that point where the group of unwed women gather for the bouquet toss, that day when that was no longer a fun moment, but seemed to be a public declaration of my failure and shortcomings. So my path to motherhood was not a typical one. My family came to me through adoption and marriage, but it is a blessing and a gift. I also know a little bit about what it's like to watch an adult child struggle and wonder if they're going to make it, worry that you aren't doing what you can for them and that you are doing things that you shouldn't be for them. When my daughter called this week sobbing about the internship, that was one of those moments, our little hint. Our son, Tim, a few years ago had some pretty serious challenges that were difficult. And the truth is that while my parents are in really amazingly good health, they have had some health scares in recent years, and I know that I won't always have them with me. I also know that those experiences barely scratch the surface about how difficult this day can be for many. Many, some perhaps right here in the sanctuary today, some who are normally in the sanctuary today, who choose to stay away because it is Mother's Day. Because society and often churches make a really big deal about this day. It's the only holiday when people send more cards than at Christmas or on birthdays. Overall, Americans spend about $8 billion on greeting cards a year. 10% of those are Mother's Day cards, which is nothing compared to the $2.9 billion that we will spend on flowers for our mothers this year. According to the National Retail Federation, Americans are expected to spend an average of $172.22 this year on Mother's Day, slightly less than last year's record high spending of $172.63. In total, spending is expected to reach $21.4 billion. As a reference point, about $2 billion less, is spent on Valentine's Day. Church attendance will be up in many places. Within Protestant churches, today often has the third highest attendance after Easter and Christmas. There is no escaping this day, nor would we necessarily want to. But as we celebrate, we need to be mindful that while it is a joy for many, it is not a joy for all. For some, it is a reminder of what has been lost and will never be. And that is true not only for Mother's and Father's Day, but for so many other days of joy. What is an occasion to celebrate for one may be a reminder of grief for another, which I suspect may be the experience of the man Philip met on the road. I told you I'd tie this into Mother's Day. Very tangentially, but it's there. I think that may be his experience, not because he no longer had a mother, we don't know that, or wanted to be a mother, or had a troubling relationship with a mother, but because of other losses. His experience would have been that he was welcome nowhere, not even in church. Whether by accident or choice or royal decree, he is no longer considered a man. He is a eunuch, a chamberlain in the court of the Queen of the Ethiopians. He is on his way back from a visit to the temple in Jerusalem, and one has to wonder why he would go that far to pray, since he would not even have been permitted to enter the temple. After all the scriptures say quite plainly in Deuteronomy 23, the eunuch shall not have a place in the congregation of God. Neither will those born out of wedlock, nor any Amorite or Moabite, because they did not offer hospitality to the people when they wandered in the wilderness. The eunuch was part of a rather large group of those who didn't fit, who weren't welcome, who didn't belong. Why? Why would they be excluded? Fred Craddock suspects that it is because family was the way that everything got ordered and fixed in that day. And it was where a person got their name. It was the place that assigned a person their identity. And a eunuch would never have a family, and so they would never have a place. But just because society said he had no place, and even if the church acted in ways that suggested that they agreed, God did not. And on some level, you have to think that the man knew that. After all, when Philip found him, he was reading scripture, a scripture describing a man in a situation not unlike the one he was in. Like a sheep, he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. This eunuch knew what it was to feel humiliated and be denied justice. He knew what it was like to feel as if his life had been taken away. And so he wanted to know, who is it that the prophet is speaking about? Who is this man who is so like him? Cut off from the land of the living, without posterity, and therefore without a future. Who is this? Is this the prophet or someone else? He needs to know, because earlier in Isaiah, there is a promise. The day will come, Isaiah writes, when the foreigner will no longer say, "The Lord will separate me from his people." This man who has been to the temple but been turned away is trying to find his place, his name, his life in the scriptures. This man who has been up to Jerusalem where they wouldn't let him in finds himself at last in the words of the prophet. And so he asks Philip, who is this? And Philip answers, it is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus too was cut off. He had no family, no children. Yet in him we all find a home. We are all adopted into the family of God, where everyone belongs, where everyone is chosen. You are my friends, Jesus declares in the passage from John that we looked at 2 weeks ago. And Jesus goes on to say, I do not call you servants any longer, but I have called you friends. You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. The eunuch had been appointed to serve the queen, but that appointment meant that he could not bear children. As one appointed to serve the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, part of the deal was that he would now bear much fruit. And he would know love and would offer love. Who could blame him when they passed by a river for asking, what's going to prevent Philip from baptizing him right then, right there, into this family at that moment? And of course, nothing prevented him. And so the man was baptized and finally understood where he belonged. Such is the story of our faith. There are lots of people and lots of traditions, even within the church, that are trying to tell us we don't belong, that we aren't enough, that others are okay, but we're not. That we are less, that we are unworthy, that we have failed. But Jesus Christ tells another story. He befriends sinners and saints and those who all others overlook. After all, Philip is led on the road into the wilderness for the sole purpose of letting a foreign outcast know that he is a beloved child of God, a friend of Christ and part of the family. And the eunuch was only the latest in a long string of those who felt excluded by society but found their welcome in Jesus Christ. Blind Bartimaeus, the 10 lepers, Zacchaeus, who was short on morals as he was in stance, the hemorrhaging woman, an insane man living in a graveyard, and from last week's scripture, a Roman officer named Cornelius. Their names are legion. No brightest and best in this group, no real power brokers, few if any names that grace the local social register, and for the most part, these marginalized, the forgotten, and overlooked. And God loves them. In Christ, God chooses them. They are friends. That is the promise of this story. It is a reminder that Jesus is constantly moving toward those from whom others are moving away. And it is the good news that you too are included in this family. No wonder we call this the gospel, which literally means good news. So often on days like Mother's Day, or when you're finding yourself in groups of movers and shakers, you don't feel like you fit in, or that you don't fit the mold, or that you're lacking something that everyone else has or expects you to have, don't be dismayed. Don't be troubled. Don't believe the lies. For you do belong. You lack nothing. That is what grace means. It means gift. You don't do it, God does. In Jesus Christ, you are chosen, you are loved, you are made whole. Pastor Chris Andrews remembers making a call on a recent visitor to church. She and her children had come on Sunday, and she checked a box that they had on their cards that we don't have on ours. Ours says that I'll phone you. Theirs said they would like the pastor to make a visit. I'll come to see you if you want me to. Write me a note, but I'm not putting that on a card. So on Monday, he dutifully went over hoping to speak with her. He wanted to invite her to come back again and tell her how to join the church. However, the woman wasn't at home, but her husband was. So Pastor Chris and the husband had a pleasant visit at the front door. The man said his name was Bill. His wife's name was Betty. As Chris wrapped up the visit, he said, "Well, please tell Betty that we would love to have her visit us again." Bill said he'd pass along the message. Then as Chris turned to walk away, Bill called out, "And me too." Chris said, "Oh, of course, and you too, Bill." That scene remained with him. "And you too, Bill." That is God's way. That is Jesus' example. That is the church when we are at our best. And it is today's message that comes to all of us, and you too. Surprise, there's room for you too in the family. Surprise, there's nothing to disqualify you because there is nothing that can disqualify you apart from the love of God in Christ. Surprise, you haven't failed. You aren't excluded. You have been called friend. You have been chosen. You belong. Thanks be to God. You too. Amen.